The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. So there's a George Clooney movie with lots of scenes that stick in my mind. It's one of those that I wasn't in with him. Had to throw that in. "Oh, brother, where art thou?" is what I'm thinking of. Today's gospel lesson puts me in mind of the baptism scene in that movie. You might remember the three characters who had escaped from the chain gang: Delmer, Pete, and Everett. They're out in the woods, escaping from the authorities that are hot on their trail. And as they're walking through, they hear a choir singing, "I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who can wear the starry crown? Oh, Lord, show me the way." Now, Pete and Everett are skeptical about this whole religion thing. But Delmar walks into the water, presents himself to the preacher, and he is baptized. And the preacher tells him that his sins are forgiven. Even that Piggly Wiggly store that you knocked over in Yazoo. The scene ends with a great line that Delmar speaks, in a way to all of us, but particularly to Pete and Everett. "Come on in, boys, the water's fine." So today in our gospel lesson, Jesus presents himself to John in the River Jordan to be baptized. But Jesus is not like Delmar. He hasn't knocked over a Piggly Wiggly store or anything else that we know about. So the question is, why is Jesus being baptized by John? Does Jesus need the baptism of John, which he says is a baptism for repentance? And doesn't this baptism make Jesus seem just a little bit less divine or a little bit less connected to God than we had hoped? John feels the problem. He protests. "Nah, if I baptize you, doesn't that put me in a superior position?" But Jesus has an answer, and it is that we're doing this to fulfill all righteousness. That is, to fulfill all righteousness for all people, to make everyone righteous. That is, Jesus is baptized for us, for Delmar. Jesus is in the water of baptism for us to restore our relationship and trust and faith with God and with one another. For Jesus, baptism is a deeply relational act. In the waters, he is with us in the depths of our need. In the waters, he is with us in the depths of our failure, in the depths of our broken relationships with one another, with God. Our experience tells us we can't on our own fulfill all righteousness, repair all relationships. We can't make everything right. Jesus' baptism already foreshadows his life, his death, and resurrection. Jesus gets into the water of life with us. He is washed over with the trouble of the world, our trouble, our brokenness. And he rises out with forgiveness for all. This is God's plan. This is God's word. This is God in the water with us. God's graceful purpose is to restore us all to a beloved relationship, so that the word of God's favor, the word of God's love, comes not only to Jesus in this text, but to us also, in Christ, in faith. You are beloved by God, the creator, the sustainer, the redeemer of the whole universe, of us all. You, here, in this place, are my daughters and my sons, the beloved. God's words of favor have very little to do with whether Jesus knocked over the Piggly Wiggly or not. It's really not about legal realities, but they have everything to do with God in Christ Jesus inviting us into a life of forgiveness, nonviolence, a peaceful relationship, that as beloved daughters and sons, we might see each other as beloved. The mystery of baptism is that it gained Jesus nothing. In fact, he was giving status away. Yet, it revealed him. It revealed him as God's son, as God's spoken word of forgiveness and life to us all. Today, we remember our baptism. We feel the waters once more, not as a prescription, not as some new legal necessity to perform, but as God's gift of grace and the promise of life and love toward us as daughters and sons. We are called into the waters this day and every day with Jesus, into the very mystery of baptism, not for ourselves alone, but in faith, in relationship with Jesus, and for all those who are in need in the world with whom we encounter. The waters are only fine if we are in them with Jesus and those for whom he came. Otherwise, they are just waters troubled as hell. The invitation to grace and forgiveness is the invitation to be with others who are in troubled waters. In the waters of baptism, as the book of Acts says, that great sermon, God shows no partiality. That is, God shows no prejudice, no exclusion of any. I was trying to think how this might get expressed in particulars of our own time. Later this month, a number of folks from this congregation will go to Washington, D.C. for the Women's March. We are entering troubled waters. It's an act of entering the waters of baptism, I think, standing with women in a time of public and verbal prejudice. It's not fundamentally a protest against a new presidency, but to say that success in any endeavor, an administration or whatever, cannot be predicated upon prejudicial or misogynistic words. Last year already, one of our own folks in the congregation called me and said, can we do something similar for the Muslim community? Can we stand with them in troubled waters to let them know that we are together with them in God's care and God's love? Or to broaden out the whole political perspective, how can we stand with unemployed miners in West Virginia, or fast food workers here in St. Louis, and Jobs for Justice? Or how can we stand for those who are concerned about the environment. Jesus' baptism was played out as he entered the waters of the excluded, the lost, the unemployed, the sick, also the powers of his day. And he rose out with new life for all and calling all to share that life with all the beloved. Come on in, sisters and brothers, the water's fine. Amen.